Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Jordana, and Sammy is recovering from the dentist, and she seems a little potentially drugged up from whatever they gave her, so she opted to not embarrass herself on this show, so the two of us are taking it from here.
I really wish she would have been able to join, because it reminded me of that episode of The Kardashians when Courtney. Do you ever see that scene when Courtney's face is like half numb, and it's like really, really funny? Alexa sends me that gif about once a year.
I have not seen that scene, but I did want someone else to incur the laughter that I got when I got my braces on and had a full lisp. So I was hoping that Sammy could get a taste of that, but she's opted out.
Next time. But anyway, we have a lot to discuss, many things. Before we get into all the celeb news, I assume we all watched VPR reunion last night.
Yes.
Part two.
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was funny that they were like trying to talk about other stuff besides the Scandoval, and like it all just kept coming back to that. Like, yeah. They wouldn't let it. And I mean, fair enough, because nothing else is particularly interesting. But they spent like 2 seconds just trying to like throw in there to say they covered it. Uh-huh. Like I think the part about Sheena's wedding and Tom Schwartz being a groomsman for Brock, and you only known him, like that was like literally what you saw on the trailer, mm-hmm. on like the preview. Was like the entire discussion of it, and then no one cared.
And it kept coming back anyway. Anytime that they would like even talk to James about anything else, he would just start talking like faster than anybody has ever spoken before, and then screaming about him cheating, Tom cheating.
Yeah, it was very funny. I mean, they're all so absurd. If I were Tom, I wouldn't be like trying to comment on all these other things happening. I would just be like,
he can't help himself.
I would just be like very quiet. Obviously, whenever he says something, comments on anything else that's happening, like, people are just going to yell at him.
Like, the drinking?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He literally walks around. His hand is attached to a Coors Light. It's so weird.
It's very bizarre.
It's so weird that that's your drink of choice. Like, Coors Light, no offense to Coors Light, but they are so not that good.
I'm not really, like, in the beer game, so I don't know, but I guess it's not.
It's just sounds like a weird thing to like be obsessed with. I don't know. Maybe it's not, but I would think it is. And now like Rachel drinks it. So weird.
I mean, we'll get into her in a minute. But
she was ice cold.
I feel like there's something wrong with her. It was very uncomfortable in her one-on-one Andy interview when Andy's like, it kind of sounds like you're like blaming her.
She
just kept being like, yeah, she like, you know, she just like never said anything. Like, she just like, you know, she just constantly believing us. So crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. Well, the key to that interview was that she did say like, or at least this is what Tom told me, or Tom made me believe. And then she did say like, although emotionless, she did say that she regrets a lot of things and feels like ashamed.
But I'm usually like kind of one to like give the benefit of the doubt for that, but I feel like when she said that, it felt like a talking point. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like, of course she said she felt ashamed. To not say that, I think she would like, it would be like over. Oh, I mean, it's already kind of over for her, but it would be like over. But like, to me, I didn't feel like any of that felt at all genuine. It felt like something she had been told to like make sure that she said. But it was so funny to even see, like, even when she's talking to Tom in the trailer, she's like, yeah, like, it seems like Ariana, like, thought you were guys were going to be together because you didn't break up with her. That statement, I was like, yeah, of course. Like,
yeah. The whole conversation was so ridiculous because then, well, I mean, she did bring up, like, okay, it's a little rough for me to watch because it seems like you actually did have, like, more intimacy than you let on. But then he's like, well, yeah.
He doesn't address it.
He's like, yeah. Well, yeah, it was during a time when, you know, she used to say a lot of negative things about what I was wearing. And then she started telling me my pants looked really good.
Yeah. Like, and she was like, Tom, you do have a good sense of fashion. It's like, how tied to your ego are, like, every single decision, like, it's just based on how well you're complimented. That's the state of your relationship. It's just like, if you're being complimented, it's going well.
I get the sense that, like, their communication was not good. They, like, did not lift each other up. I think that they, like, sort of tore each other down. But Tom is sort of using all of that as, like, his reasoning or justification for cheating.
Right.
But it was so clear, though, that everything that they said in that trailer was for the cameras because he got so mad, or he was throwing a shit fit because he wanted to talk to her without the cameras, meaning he has lots of things to say.
So what he wanted to tell her to say probably yeah. before she went on. It's like, it's just annoying that he thinks he's, like, so smart that, like, no one's going to know exactly what he's doing. It's almost like insulting to the audience as a whole.
He looks so dumb and crazy. Oh, and also, you know that, like, we know that TMZ was there because we saw those pics. So we know he knew TMZ was there. So, like, he was definitely, like, throwing up his arms as, like, as a show.
The other thing that was infuriating to me was when, like, Sheena had that breakdown when she got the letter that said that they were going to, like, cancel.
You know, I was
thing.
Bawling.
I'm not surprised. And then they pan to Raquel and she's like, I guess I should have written Sheena, like, a letter. Like, I regret not sending. Wow. Like, she seems upset. Like, I should have sent her a letter. It's like,
oops, should I leave a note?
That's what I'm saying. It just seems like she really doesn't give a shit. That's someone who, like, really didn't care or didn't think about. Literally, this is the first second you're thinking, like, oh, maybe I should have, like, handled that differently. Like, I actually almost don't even know if it's so cold as it is just, like, she just seems maybe she's not, and this is, like, a thing, but she just seems really, like, stupid. And I hate to use that word,
yeah.
but, like, she really does just not seem like she's thought any steps ahead in any situation.
But lots of people who, like, quote, okay, stupid meaning, like, not smart meaning, like, she
not emotionally
doesn't,
intelligent.
Maybe not emotionally intelligent, but to me that just means she's, like, detached. And I don't know if it's, like, a detachment from, like, her emotions or just, like, other people's feelings. But when you're detached from other people's feelings, you are ice cold. Like, there's something that's, like, turned off that doesn't allow you to understand how what you were doing might affect other people. Like, what Sheena was saying that made me cry, besides all of it, was that when she was like, I gave her everything. I was there for her. I, like, gave her a place to live. Even when I confronted her about it, she said, I would never do that to you. Meanwhile, she is doing it to her. Like, and then on top of all of that, learning all of that, being betrayed, like, she serves me with these legal documents and my daughter's having a panic attack, watching me cry. Like, it's just a lot. And I was just, and then again, like you said, it pans to Raquel. She's just like, as if she's watching a fucking episode of Barney.
Right.
Like, literally nothing. She gives
Maybe
nothing.
Maybe I should write her a letter. I should have written her a letter.
Maybe it should have been a note. Personalized note. It was just a weird vibes. It was hard to watch.
Yeah. And, like, it's weird because, like, I do feel like if she had handled herself, or if maybe I don't know, handle herself, but if she was a different person, like, not that she could have been redeemed at this reunion, but I think you maybe, and I guess we haven't seen next episode yet, but I feel like there was potential to feel, like, some sympathy from her, or, like, some sort of feeling of, like, she really feels terrible about this.
Like, I fucked up. Holy shit.
And it didn't give that vibe at all yet.
Yeah, like, I was pulled from, like, the undercurrent with this guy and he made me feel, or, like, lied to me. And at the same time, she still betrayed her friends. Like, at the same time, it's
or even
not like,
I got caught up, like some sort of like, you know, like
I lost myself,
something like that. I don't know. If I were her publicist, I would have a totally different narrative. We would have done a lot more practice.
Her publicist is Tom Sandoval.
Right. Like, well, that's not a good person to be. Clearly, he's not doing well for himself. So I don't think that that's a good person to be taking advice from. If I were her crisis PR, I would definitely not have gone this route, because it just even when she says, like, we never lied about anything
besides
the affair that we were doing for 6 months. And like, it's just like, no, like, no one's going to respond well to that. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the skills I've learned is how to manage my time. It's not always obvious. Sometimes we're spending time with people that don't make us feel good and we don't even realize, or we're doing activities that aren't actually bringing ourselves any joy, but we're just doing them because we've always done them. So therapy can really help you untangle all of that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Oh my God, also shocking was when in the one-on-one with Andy, when she was like, yeah, like we were like going to plan to tell her. Maybe we should have done it earlier, but still we would have told her like a much different version of the story. And Andy's like, wait, so you would have truncated it? She's like, yeah.
Right.
And like, I guess it's good that she was sort of admitting that they would have lied. But again, it was just I don't know, maybe she really is like kind of a sociopath. Like she's like detached from all sense of like emotions.
If she were a sociopath, I think she would be better able to like manipulate
others
and the audience. I really just think she's just not that bright. I hate to say it. I really think that sort of like what it boils down to, and maybe she's not like that emotionally evolved. I don't think she's a sociopath, because I just don't think that like she, you almost have to have like a little bit of like a charm or charisma in order to do that. And I don't really see any of that.
I feel like Tom is definitely one, but it says that it's antisocial. The website's called Mayo Clinic says antisocial personality disorder, sometimes called sociopathy, is a mental health condition in which a person consistently shows no regard for right or wrong and ignores the rights and the feelings of others. But like maybe not smart, but also maybe not, but also hint of maybe this.
Right.
It's possible.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. The other part that I thought was funny was when Allie comes on and they literally treat her like a tiny baby.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, Allie.
I like her, even though I'm like, again, I'm not really sure why she's with. I think the weirdest thing about her is that she's with James.
I agree. It's so weird. She's also so just kind of calm in the way she speaks. She's like, yeah, I didn't like that.
I kind of feel like she might be pulling a Raquel in that, like, she's not that into James and she just needs to, like, be with him long enough to establish herself on the show. And then she will leave him because
well, this is the best thing that could have happened to her, like, status, because now they like her.
Yeah.
Just to be against Raquel.
Right. And I mean, like, she seems cool. Like, she seems just like a more normal version.
Well, her obsession with horoscopes is.
But that's like everyone in LA.
I guess.
It's like crystals and all that other shit. But like, I kind of feel like this is a good move for her to get on the show to like establish herself without James. And then eventually I think she will break up with him. I do not see this as like a long term situation.
Especially watching the way he could not handle his like anger. Yesterday, he just walked off 3 times.
And she just doesn't seem like she's like about that. So I just don't understand why she would be cool with that. It's funny how he keeps just blaming everything on being like 31.
Yeah.
Which is 21. Like not that young. He's like, I'm 31. Sandoval is 42. Like, I'm 31. He's 40. It's like very Jessica 34, Mark 24.
Yeah. Remember that. I forgot about that. Yeah. James was – he goes so fast when he's just, like, feels like he's put against – like, standing up against a wall or being pushed up against a wall, whatever the phrase is. And he just goes crazy in the circles and he just starts yelling and then he, like, literally combusts and then leaves the room.
Yeah.
So I don't know how his anger management is going. And they all, like, kind of look away when he talks about how the fact that he's okay drinking now. Everyone's like,
I don't know about that. But I think everyone's kind of like, if this were like a regular reunion, I think people would have more to say about his drinking and the way he's acting because it would have just been a bigger piece of the pie to things to discuss. But I think because the only thing anyone cares about is sort of destroying Tom Sandoval, no one is really going after anyone else. They're all like pretty united in mm-hmm. Like, there is one person that we are against, and it is very clear. Ariana is like, I've never seen someone who is, like, seething that physically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything she says kind of feels like she's, like, again, totally justified. Like, barking.
Like, yeah, she's mad.
She just seems like she is, like, she's just waiting for him to say anything, and her eyes are, like, bulging out of her head. She's just, like, so fucking angry. I've never seen anything like it.
She says in her like the Call Her Daddy interview that she was just really angry like going into that. She didn't want to see them. She obviously had to. Even when they like suggested Raquel sit next to Tom Sandoval, she was like, no, she is not. Tom, stay where you are. And Mandy's like, whoa. Yeah, she says
I mean,
that
fair.
She
that
went
doesn't
in,
seem necessary. Yeah. I think that would be very hurtful.
Yeah, she says that she was really mad. Going into it and sort of blacked out. I think she said that. But I would too. I would just be so pissed. Having to sit through Tom just like going through all the stuff. And then like the audacity for Tom to be like, this is what I was – oh, finally, you're being yourself. This is what I was with.
Right. And then it's so – he seems like so full of shit that he's saying that. And then you see in the next episode like, I will always – I know you hate me, but like I will always love you. It's like – 10 minutes ago,
and then
you
Raquel's
were saying,
like, "What the fuck?"
10 minutes ago, you were saying, "Like this is the real her, and like she deserves this, and like she's just like basically like implying that she's like kind of an idiot for not realizing, for not like getting the hint that was what was happening,
mean to him, all of those things." But like again, as she keeps coming back to, okay, so break up with me, like. Just break up. I've given you all of the openings.
Right. Don't pretend you're freezing your sperm.
Correct.
Like, that to me was just the clearest sign that he's full of shit because someone who is saying that they want to break up with someone isn't going to the clinic to discuss fusing their genes with someone that they are imminently planning to end things with.
Yeah. Really rough ride. And Lisa, like, is not backing down from sort of defending them. And Tom Schwartz is taking Xanax on TV. We've completely just lost it.
It's funny that Sandoval is like, tell them that this is your private medical condition.
Yeah, he like.
I'm like, you're mic'd. Like,
yeah. Like, he tries to coach for appearances.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Think he's doing a good job.
Pussy worm, bitch.
Oh my god. This whole cast of characters. I also enjoyed hearing the, you know, the love story between Lala and Randall. How that came about.
Oh, I know. I know. I don't know. Like watching the. I need to rewatch those seasons where Lala comes on and starts dating Randall, because I feel like that would be just really interesting. But like the flashbacks.
Well, I am kind of rewatching. Well, Mike, I told you Mike is, I've created a Vanderpump monster and he's watching. So I'm sort of watching as he's watching. And it's interesting to see people evolve from the show, because she comes in very like, when she comes in, she's like sort of fangirling for Stassi, which was funny.
Which is why that comment that Tom made, that apparently Lala didn't hear in real time. She saw it, but he said like, oh, you pulled out your IUD the minute Stassi Schroeder got pregnant.
How does he know about her IUD?
I mean, she probably talked about it, but she says that she literally would have mauled him on Instagram if she had heard it live. Oi. But wait, so when you watched it, you're watching that now? I know Sammy and
current episode,
Sammy and Dylan are rewatching it and doing a podcast, podcast about it on Bravo. I mentioned it all, our Bravo podcast. But yeah, I think I kind of like want to see those episodes when she talks about Randall.
Yeah, I'm not up to where she's like has met him yet, but she's definitely like, I remember having people sign NDAs and seems like something you would do if you knew that the guy you were seeing was married.
Had
like,
something to hide.
Yeah. Lala could also be a little bit more. I think if she would just be more forthcoming about the mistakes that she has made, it would make her seem less hypocritical. Like, obviously, we're all for, like, the Tom Sandoval takedown. But, like, I understand the point of she is not exactly, like, an innocent angel.
Yeah. The same way that she says that Tom has nothing to say about drinking.
Like, right. Yeah. It's like, just say, if you say it, then no one else has to say it, which I don't think people on this cast understand. Like,
no one gets it.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Big reunion week for Bravo. I actually have talked all about Jersey with Dylan on Mention It All also. So if you want to hear my takes on Jersey, you can listen there. But let's talk about Summer House.
Yes. What did you think when you watched it?
I mean, I think the reunion is much better than this whole season was.
Totally.
For sure. So much more interesting. I feel like the season was like kind of a dud.
Right. It was just like a lot of Danielle crying. I did enjoy Corey and Sam's sort of relationship. I like Sam. I like how sort of she's
I don't like either of them
a lot. You don't like either of them?
I don't particularly care for either of them. I feel like they're trying to make us care about them as a couple. Maybe, I guess it's working for some
works
people.
Works for me.
Works for Raylene.
Everything works on me.
For me, I don't really care. It seems like a little boring. I'm not like that intrigued by the relationship personally.
What I find intriguing about it is that like you watched Winter House.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay, so he was on.
Maybe that's
and
why.
Then he dated this other girl who looks just like Lindsay. I already forgot her name. It was obvious that he was not like that into her, but he was not into her like long term. Like okay. Didn't want to commit to her. And then it's interesting to see that now he's with another blonde girl, but willing to commit to her. And like just like what the difference in that is.
Interesting.
Like that to me is the kind of that what's interesting about it, that he okay. seems really into her.
I could see why that would make it more interesting. I didn't watch Winter House, so to me it just seems like a boring couple yeah. that's into each other.
Also hilarious to cross both worlds is that part of Ariana's whole thing about like Tom's timeline is that he didn't want certain things to come out so that he could film Winter House.
Was he on Winter House?
Yeah, they come on for cameo or like one to two for a weekend or okay. two nights. But they were planning to be on it this season, Tom and Tom. So I think only Tom Schwartz filmed maybe. But then all of it came out and he didn't do it.
I see.
He wanted yeah. to film it.
I mean, what did you think of the Summer House finale where Danielle is like kind of trying to like mend things and Lindsay is sort of like, I don't give a shit about you, essentially.
Well, also very cold. And I agree with Danielle about how like her face was just really hard to be in front of, I assume, because yeah. of the way that she, again, like, would not show any emotion or Lindsay's whole thing is that she cannot be wrong. Like, she just can't be wrong. She must be right. Mm-hmm. She must be the, like, victim of any fight. And she will yell and she will sort of not see another side, at least for TV. I guess.
Right.
I can't see it another way. So I saw that. Like, you could see that when she's fighting with Carl when she's drunk. And you could also definitely see it with this fight with Danielle. Like, come on. Like, just have a regular conversation. The thing right. that I think Danielle isn't really saying out loud, and maybe she does say it and it's not on camera, but I think that she just felt, like, really left out.
I think and she did say that.
She, like,
she
sort
was, like,
of
we were
say
like
it,
the three
but not
friends.
To Lindsay.
Yeah.
She's like, you started dating Carl, which is fine, but like, did no one consider maybe like a transition period?
Right. Well, I think what she's saying, which is an interesting, almost like meta discussion, which is like
the drinking.
No, I don't even think that's about the drinking. I think she was kind of like, we were all friends, and then you guys like sailed off into the sunset as like your friends, and you kind of left me behind. And like, I think societally, we're like, okay with that. Like, it seems like societally we prioritize romantic relationships over friendships, so like yeah. societally I think it's not most people might agree like, oh, they're like in a romantic relationship which now supersedes the friendship, so like you're just gonna have to deal
yeah
with not having
and you're mad because your relationship right. is crumbling
right. But I don't necessarily think that is like maybe that's the way we're trained to think about it, but I think friendships can be just as important, maybe, again, just as important as tough, because like obviously there's like this family unit that starts off of a yeah. relationship that feels like maybe more
becomes
important,
more but, important,
right.
yeah.
But they're not in that yet, right? And I do think if Lindsay were a good friend, I think that there would be a part of her that would think about Danielle and how she felt in all this, and that she might also be going through her own relationship problems and maybe just have gone out of her way to make yeah. her feel more included and less like upset. I mean, it's hard because I've never been in a 3-person friendship with 2 people who have started dating. So I don't like yeah. fully understand what that's like.
Wait, I can give you an example of something that happened to me where it's just not at all like this, but like a tiny, do you know what I'm about to say?
I think I do, from college.
Yeah, from college. Yes. When my roommate, who you know, who knew,
yes.
and I had like a guy friend for longer than my roommate knew him, but apparently they were hooking up and didn't tell me. And one night, like, I came home so drunk, I caught them, but apparently I didn't remember the next day. And I, when they told
it's
me,
like secret, which was weird
I felt
yeah.
really betrayed. because they were like hiding it from me. But also I was like, wait, this is so weird. I thought we were like friends and now you guys are like kind of leaving me here. It wasn't a trio, but like this is the most benign version of like this. So I can only imagine how bad Danielle must feel, especially when like none of the two really give a shit about her feelings about it.
They're very much like, we have each other. We don't really care if you feel included, if you don't feel included, like feel however you want to feel. We don't really
give
a shit.
It's up to you to figure that shit out. Yeah. And that's why I think what I was saying was that Lindsay needs to be right. I think she also needs to feel like the good guy. She can't feel like a bad guy. So she's just like, nothing I did was wrong. You've always known I needed a partner. I finally found one. You should be happy for me. Like, this is about me. Like, you should be kind of going out of your way to be happy for me. But, like, there's no ever, like, a consideration of, like, wait, maybe what I'm doing might actually be hurting Danielle.
Right.
Like you said, let me go out of my way to make sure she's okay. But there's none of that.
And I think if she did do that, Danielle would feel happier.
Yes.
Her. She would feel like, oh, like.
Included.
There's like, right. There's included. And also just, like, that there's more, like, intimacy in the friendship. And it's a two-way intimacy that, like. Lindsay can be there for her and she can be there for her. And like, and I think the more intimately involved you are in someone's life, the more happy you are for anyone. Like the better friends you are with someone, the happier you are when something good happens to them. I think that's sort of just like a natural feeling because you're more like clued into the whole situation. You know more of the ins and outs. You're like intimately involved in the whole thing.
But I do think the other piece of it, which they sort of touched on in the reunion, was that Danielle was worried that the drinking thing was not, like, solved.
Mm-hmm.
And they just moved on so quickly.
I wonder if she really cared about that, though.
Like, you think that this is just a reason?
I'm, like, sort of on Danielle's side generally. But I do think the thing about their fight and Montauk about the drinking, like, I think all couples kind of, like, have...
No, not even that. Not them drinking, but more so just the fact that Carl does not like it when Lindsay drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay will not stop drinking for him. She's like, is this really like what you're going to jump into? Like, this is a big thing you should probably solve before you're engaged.
But Carl did say, I mean, Lindsay didn't say this because she seems to want to project like the perfect relationship.
Sure.
Carl did say, like, we are in couples therapy. It is an issue with us. It's something that we're continuing to work on, which to me was like, kind of enough. But like, I would think it would have been better if Lindsay said that or said that. Or it was, like, open or real about that. It didn't seem like she was, like, talking about any of the issues that they really had, like, at all. And I think that's sort of the most, like you said, she always wants to be right. The relationship she's in is perfect. Everyone is against her. It's very, like, it seems to be sort of her talking points. But I think if she had said it instead of Carl and she had said it to Danielle, like, if they had just had an honest conversation about it where Danielle was like, I feel like the fact that he doesn't want you to drink is like just something that I should really make sure that you're like aligned with before you get into a serious relationship. And then Lindsay said, yeah, totally. Like that makes sense. It is something that we've had issues with. We're actually going to couples therapy and like making sure that like we're both on the same page and we both feel comfortable about everything. I think it would have been like done.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I could see Danielle being like, okay, Rob doesn't want to go to couples therapy, so I'm going to start projecting that further and be like, well, should you really be in couples therapy before you're getting married? Like, I could almost see that go that way. But it's all really stemming from probably the issue of, like, no one is acknowledging the fact that I'm being left behind.
Yeah. I think you can be in couples therapy before you get married.
For sure. You should. But anyway, I thought it was pretty good. You could tell Lindsay just gets caught in so much shit and just stares there, like, stands like,
Yeah.
When they were, like, calling her out for being really mean to, like, the Bravo staff and, like, Andy had to yell at her, she had nothing to say about that.
Yeah, I think she's, like, probably kind of a raging bitch, which is sort of funny that, like, she and Carl are together because I don't know.
He does get kind of testy.
Sober Carl is, like, not that I don't like him sober because I don't want to be, like, not in support of his sobriety, but he just seems, like, not having nothing to do with his drinking, he just seems, like, kind of lame. This whole season. Again, I'm not saying it's because he's not drinking. I think it's because he's with Lindsay, maybe.
I think he is I think what we're getting is not really the fact that he's sober, but the fact that he is nervous to be on the show and he's like very defensive, maybe of his sobriety and the fact that he's with Lindsay, who is very much not sober and
also kind of a lunatic. I mean, and that's kind of what Kyle was saying. It's like, I'd be worried about someone dating Lindsay. She's like kind of crazy is sort of what he said. And like, I'm sure Carl has some feelings about that deep inside of him.
Paige seemed to be like saying a lot and doing a lot of like eye rolling and under breath mumbling, muttering. She seems to really hate Lindsay, but Lindsay was like, whatever, it's better to be like fucking crazy than boring.
I mean, Lindsay is in PR, so I do believe a lot of the things she's saying, that she would be very calculated about like how to go about all of these moments. And even I read something about like, I saw an article, like some sort of clickbait article about like when they were getting married or something. And like Lindsay's talking to like, they're talking to like Us Weekly or some one of those, maybe it was people, whatever, one of those things about like when the marriage. She's like, and of course we're going to film the wedding because like we couldn't do that to the fans. Like we couldn't just like not give them like the filmed wedding when they watched us this whole time. I'm like,
that's a classic response.
Right. It's kind of like a little bit of a feeling of like self-importance, which I find to be annoying.
The thing about the People magazine, though, is that the guy who actually did the article says that that was not true. And like what Paige said about them, that they planned the People piece. He was like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how People magazine works. And we did not plan it.
Do you believe she started the Dumois rumors about the cheating?
I could see it. I didn't believe them when she said that she's never sent a story and ever. Like, there's no way. That's like, she's Lisa Vanderpump saying that.
She owns PR. A PR company, supposedly, I think. If she still does, maybe.
The Golden Rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Al Pacino is expecting, again, at 83, with his 29-year-old girlfriend.
She's 8 months pregnant. And this is all very – just the first thing I think about is, like, the sex. It's, like, the first thing I think about anytime I hear this type of age gap. Because, you know, obviously, they had sex. and – she, I mean, they've been seeing each other since the pandemic. This is a pandemic relationship.
that might be the oldest I've heard, potentially, for a father, I think. Have you heard of older?
I can't remember. He's going to be over 100 when this kid graduates high school, which is a rough.
If he makes it. If he is around. I mean, that's sort of the unsaid situation.
She apparently dates very rich older men. She was previously linked to Mick Jagger, who is 79.
And he already has a daughter, Julie, who's 33, and twins who are 22. So his daughter is our age, which is interesting. And
yeah, it's like
it's going to be a fun kids, family tree.
Yes. I guess at least the daughter is old enough to be the baby's mom, and apparently Al, it's weird to call him Al, is older than her dad. So
maybe he has some like younger frozen sperm that he used.
I could see that for him.
Is there an age at which like it's hard for a man to have a child?
What do you mean?
Like do you get decreased fertility as a man after a certain, like?
It definitely goes down, but it's not like, it's not the same as for women.
Right. Well, I guess, okay, if he's 83 and his oldest daughter is 33, that means he had his first kid at 50.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of crazy.
Yeah, that happens all the time, though.
Right.
I just keep picturing the sex. That's really...
Why do you keep picturing this act?
Can't help myself. One time I saw Al Pacino walking down the street. We were crossing a crosswalk opposite of each other, and he saw me see him, and he walked really far away from me. He went out of his way to sort of not let me say hello, which I wouldn't have.
That happened to me also with Mary-Kate or Ashley Olsen. I'm not sure which one. This happens like a couple of months ago. I was walking down the street and I saw someone in like a long, like a short blonde woman with a long black trying to look like she was like a
vampire.
Yeah, or something like that. It was like also like 75 degrees. It was like a very
definitely one of them.
And I was like, this is a weird like Olsen type look. And then I walked past and I looked behind and it was like Mary-Kate or Ashley again. I don't know the difference. And I think she saw me looking at her and then she like stopped and went to like the side for me to continue.
Move along.
Which then confirmed that it was definitely her. So that must be like this. I wonder if that's like in the unwritten celebrity handbook. Just like
just detour
to the side.
Well, Al was wearing slacks. All right. More news in the celebrity world. Blue Ivy makes her Renaissance tour debut. She is seen doing like a surprise dance routine.
Yes.
On stage at Beyonce's tour and her concert. Some people are saying that the dancing was subpar.
I mean, it feels so 11. Weird to critique an 11-year-old, but that is also why I watch MasterChef Juniors. So.
I watched it. No, I didn't think she was that bad. She's the she got like a full ovation. Like everybody was clapping for her.
Here's the thing. If she were like just auditioning as a regular normie, would she have gotten the part?
No.
Pops not.
But she's not like Maddie Ziegler dancing, hardcore dancer. I think she was just getting an applause because she was the daughter and she's making an appearance, which she rarely does. And she, did some dance moves.
Does she have her dad's dance moves?
Sort of. Okay. It wasn't so bad. It was just like an 11-year-old dancing.
Can she sing? I feel like she would. I would imagine she would be able to sing pretty well.
Well, clearly, if she's dancing, maybe not.
Maybe not.
But we'll see as her voice matures.
Yeah, and she's 11, so I think we can relax. But
yeah, relax.
Also,
everybody.
I think it's cute. It's nice that she had the opportunity.
I think it's so cute. Like, your mom is mad famous. So is your dad, obviously. And so, so fucking rich.
So much pressure.
Yeah, so much pressure. But she, didn't. She danced. She wasn't nervous. I'm sure she's not, that shy, considering that, she's told who she's the child of all the time. They just bought, the most expensive house in California, all cash. They're fine. I think it's cute that the mom, it's just a mom and a daughter. Hey, join my concert.
But take your daughter to work day.
To the 11th degree, for sure. But it is what it is. Whatever.
Okay. So did you hear the news about Kim Cattrall? She's returning to And Just Like That, despite all the feud rumors. But although this seems a little misleading.
It's okay. Yes, I did hear. And she posted it and she wrote. Today, and she wrote Happy Pride. she's not filming with them. She filmed completely away from them. She didn't have to have any interaction with them. And it's also a phone scene, and it's one cameo.
How much do you think they paid her for
it's
this?
It's a phone cameo.
I feel like a lot.
A lot. A lot. A lot.
I bet you they did what she wouldn't even do the phone call with Sarah Jessica Parker. She probably did it on her own, and then they'll piece it together.
They had no interaction with anybody in the cast. But they said she was dressed, right? So it's not just a FaceTime. So I assume it's a back and forth showing them have a conversation, but they're not together.
Well, this tells you everyone has a number.
Yeah, no, for sure. Everyone has a number, A. And B, that's really it. And they also announced
this strategically right before the show was coming out. This was clearly we're going to do this. The show's coming out. We need some press around it. It's almost a paid press opportunity, I think.
It's brilliant for her. But she is not going to be a continuation of her character. I think it's just considered a cameo.
Okay.
So maybe they have a closure combo. And that's it.
Okay. Maybe they're going to kill her off or something.
It's like,
so from her deathbed, the call.
Hello.
Carrie, you're a fucking bitch.
Fuck you.
I mean, listen, I might be more likely to watch because I want to see how that.
I'm excited to see Aiden.
Oh, yeah. Aiden, too.
Aiden's going to be on. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this.
I am pumped. I mean, they are like really milking this franchise. Like they're squeezing every last drop
there is
out
nothing
of it
left.
Until there will be like no more money to be made.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they might as well.
So I guess like whatever, they've leaned into that and it's working.
Yeah, I agree. They're getting everybody back. They don't even give a shit. Who do we want to send to the Caymans this week?
Do we want to send Lindsay Hubbard? Hubbard? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Hub House.
For her cold attitude towards Danielle?
Yes, or Raquel for her cold attitude towards Sheena.
I think we've already sent Raquel.
Ugh. Al Pacino's sperm.
I mean, Al Pacino's sperm is working. It's the hardest working sperm
in all the land.
I thought it was retired. So must be so annoying for his sperm. It's like, we thought we were like retired.
We thought we were done. And yet we persevere. Yeah, I think that.
I think we could send Lindsay.
Yeah, let's send Lindsay. We'll send her, you know, economy plus. She'll get the ride. Delta plus. She'll sell some timeshares. I think she'll enjoy getting the tan.
Yeah.
She won't learn anything.
She's not above selling timeshares.
Maybe, yeah, she won't learn anything. If anything, she'll probably get like Bravo to film her there.
Yes, she'll do a special of like her own version of Teresa Checks In. Anyway, all right. Bye, Lindsay. We're hypothetically sending you to the Caymans.
We have to send a guest.
Oh, send a guest with her?
No, we have to send a guest to... Oh, Aileen's left constantly. Like it. It's kind of annoying. Thank you so much.
I don't know if we want to send that person. I don't know. Honestly, guys, we need more good reviews. Okay, someone wrote that for some reason they only wrote 4 stars, but they said they sometimes recall the comment about Barack and Taylor dating and LOL to themselves. So... we're here to give you the celebrity dating hypotheticals that you never knew you needed. And, you know, go leave us a 5-star review and we'll shout you out on the show. And that one was, the username is Jam, JCNJ. Are these getting weird? We'll think about it.
My favorite is when, like, Andy does, like, and, like, 6969 lover asks Raquel, why do you love ice skating? Like it's yes. That's my that's favorite true. When he just like any type of reunion,
the tweets,
the tweets, or when he like there he's asking a question like in Jersey reunion, he had some funny ones. It's just, I love it. That's good TV. But anyway, that's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
And me at Jordana Abraham. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Picot, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.